We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Playoffs or bust. That's where we're at right now. Episode 17, 41 Acres, Landry Locker, Derek Foreman. I'm just going to get right to it. It's been a while since we've spoken to Longhorn Nation, but I'm just going to say it right now. I hate to say Texas is back, but I'm going to say this right now. Next year is a playoff or bust season for Tom Herman's squad. That's the expectations. That's my realistic expectations. Am I getting a little ahead of myself, Day-Day?
No, I don't think so, man. I mean, coming off of the season that they had last year and going to the, the Big 12 championship, man, and, Oklahoma just came in and did their thing, man, so it was a hard loss or whatever. But I think coming back in this year, the Texas Longhorns, man, and with this recruiting class that they have in, man, it seemed like they got some pretty good studs, man. We lost a lot of great people, man, obviously going, potentially going to the NFL, man. So Tom Herman and his staff is going to have to restock, with some younger players that's going to have to see the field early. But I think, no Kyler Murray this year, man. You know, a lot of the quarterbacks are gone, man. So, I mean, it's prime for Tom Herman and the Longhorns this year, man.
It's going to be a situation where Texas could likely be favored in every single game they play. Every single game Texas plays, it depends on what happens 182 days from now on September 7th when LSU goes to DKR.
That's going
to
be big, man.
It's going
to
be huge.
LSU coming to Texas this year, man. Super big, man. I can't wait either.
It's going to be massive, but you're going to be favored in every game. There's a chance. I don't know what Oklahoma's going to be, but you're going to be favored in every game. And you mentioned the losses. It obviously starts on the offensive line. You got to protect the blind side. But Tom Herman, for the second straight year, he's filling needs after signing day through JUCO, which is the new JUCO route, which is the new free agency in college football and transfers as well. They add Iowa Western offensive tackle Willie Tyler on Friday, and they also add Parker Braun from Georgia Tech, who was an all ACC first team guy. So you tweak the offensive line. It looks like that's going to be all right. You lose Lil Jordan Humphrey, but you have arguably the best receiving, recruiting class of all time in the history of the school, which says a lot considering the class with Roy Williams, BJ Johnson, and Sloan Thomas. But you're bringing in guys like B. McCoy, who you stole from USC. Whether or not he can play, we'll see. You got Jordan Whittington, who's a five-star guy. Jake Smith, the Gatorade National Player of the Year. Marcus Washington from Missouri.
Big guy. 6'3".
Go up and get that rock. Right. You got receivers. And, oh, by the way, you got Colin Johnson coming back. He's going to be bigger, faster, stronger. You got Duvernay. You got Jameson. Your biggest loss from a skill position standpoint was Lil Jordan Humphrey. But these guys are going to come in and make an immediate impact. And on the offensive line, you got some guys with experience coming back. And just like you did last year with Calvin Anderson, you made those tweaks. So it's time for Sam Ellinger to shine. You got the best quarterback in the Big 12. Oklahoma, I know they've won the conference four straight years, but let's just be honest. You lose four NFL offensive linemen who are all at the combine. You lose the best receiver in the Big 12, maybe, in Hollywood Brown. It's between him and CeCe Lamb. You lose the Heisman Trophy winner in Kyler Murray. No disrespect to Jalen Hurts, but Oklahoma's got way more holes to fill than Texas, and when it comes to the most important position on the field, Texas has the advantage there over every other team in the Big 12.
No doubt. I think this Texas offense, man, like I said, is going to be big. It's going to be high-powered. We have a lot of young guys that's going to come in, man, and have to make an immediate impact, on the field, man. We have some transfer guys that have come in to this team. Tom Herman is doing this thing, man. He's, everybody know, man, how, I was the biggest Herman fan, man, but he's honestly flipped me, man, with with the things that he's doing, man. And we haven't even touched on the analyst that he's bringing in, to the staff to, you know, help out, you know, just break down film and so on and so forth. Guys like, David Beatty, who's, coming over from Kansas, and, also, Larry, Fedora, you know, who's also, coming over, man. So those guys will be breaking down film, and, you know, it is good to have those type of minds, guys who have been head coaches or, you know, who have been in the game.
Same thing Alabama does. Alabama just did it with Applewhite. When head coaches want to come in your building and they want to help your squad, that's a sign that things are going in the right direction. And you know better than anyone, because your son played the position running back. They might be a little bit thin there.
Oh, man.
But if Keontae Ingram has an offseason like a lot of freshman running backs do, and he comes back ready to roll, he's hitting those holes a little bit harder, next level.
I heard Keandre is already up to like 230 something, man. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
That's so what I like to hear.
He's putting on some weight, man. You know, but we don't have anything, you know, much behind him, man. I mean, we have Danny Young, who was basically used as a short yardage back last year. Didn't really see the field much, man. So he doesn't have a whole lot of experience, I feel. And then. You know, God bless him, man. You know, we got Kirk Johnson, man, who has, you know, been there probably 5 years now, man, and have a total of about 8 carries in his whole, you know, collegiate career, man. Somebody may need to sit down with him and just have a come to Jesus meeting and tell him, hey, man, it's time for you to go and get your degree, man, and probably look at doing something else. But, you know, I don't want to kill a kid's dream, but I mean, you really haven't done much, you know, at Texas,
it's
man. So
Ingram,
it's going to be, but I mean, it can't be all about Ingram. We have the last year with Trey Watson and Ingram, I thought that they were a hell of a pair. Now you're coming in and you only have one proven back, you know, who is still a young guy, who's still trying to find his way. Hopefully this year he can come in and have a monster year. You know, he played decent as a freshman, but I mean, let's be honest with you. Trey Watson was probably the best back that they had last year, man, when you look at it down the stretch.
Yeah, it's going to be the offense. I think, you know, the biggest question mark is running back, but if Keontae's good, you hope these other guys can come in. But I don't think the receiving core is going to take a step back. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to take a step forward, and you only wonder what it could have been with little Jordan Humphrey. Let's go to the other side of the ball on defense. You lose a couple of key guys. You lose your starting corners in Davis and Chris Boyd, but you got the young kids. You got a lot of talent there. Not too concerned there, especially with Stearns and Foster coming back in year two. Gary Johnson's gone.
Charles Aminahue.
You got Brandon Jones coming back at safety. You lost Aminahue. You lost Gary Johnson. But you know, you added
man,
a JUCO.
We lost Brickenhager, man.
I don't mention his name, please. That's enough of that. But you added Jacoby Jones, JUCO number one ranked JUCO defensive end. So adding more to the JUCO. You added a few linebackers that can make immediate impact in the recruiting class. 4 linebackers to be exact. And you got some other guys coming back. So on defense, it's a lot of unproven guys, but it's also a lot of talented guys. And my main hope for the defense is I think that this defensive back class that we talked about last year that showed a few flashes and a few glimpses, I think they take the next step, and that becomes the strength of the team. But you know, when you lose Gary Johnson, who had a damn good combine, by the way, showed that he could run, nothing surprising to us. But when you lose a guy like Gary Johnson, that's definitely a hole that you got to fill. But let's be honest, it's all about the offense. They're going to be trying to outscore people.
Oh yeah, no doubt, man. The offense is really going to be the catalyst for this team moving forward. I think that that Tom Herman has probably gotten more comfortable, although he says that he don't like, you know, calling plays from the sideline. He'd rather do it from the box, man. But him being on the field, man, I think that, you know, later on in the season, I think he did a hell of a job, you know, calling plays. I feel like he will be the play caller. And again, like I said, the importance of bringing a David Beatty in, a Larry Fedora in, you know, to help break down film and to be able, you know, they can't go out and recruit or anything like that. They can't can't, you know, coach the kids on the field or anything. They're there just as, you know, their interaction will be, you know, with the coaches. But I think, you know, the fact that they have been head coaches, you know, been in this game for a while, I think that is going to help, Tom Herman right now.
Yeah, can't hurt.
And then, you know, Sam Ehlinger, like I said, man, him just taking his, game to another level this past season. I'm looking for him to be even more experienced, this year. And again, that wide receiving core is going to be critical, man. It should be matchup problems all across the board, man.
It's going to be a serious problem. Like it's going to be scary what this receiving core is going to be. And it's going to be immediate. And I know your guy, Duvernay. Duvernay is another guy that we can't sleep on because he's going to be more of a part of things. It's going to be,
no doubt.
It's going to be scary what that offense is going to do. The question marks are on defense, but the talent is definitely there. It's just a matter of experience. Let's talk about the guys who left. And how they did at the combine. Lil Jordan Humphrey, probably one of the most disappointing combines of anyone that participated. 4.79 40, and this is after he lost a bunch of weight and was trying to get a little bit faster. Didn't work out for him. Wasn't very strong. Wasn't that great on the drills. It's almost the opposite because Chris Boyd was a combine workout freak. He had the most bench presses for a corner. Ran a 4.4. It almost seems like it's just too opposite things, because if you watched the games last year, you saw how good Lil Jordan Humphrey was, but then he goes to the combine and he kind of lays an egg. On the other hand, Chris Boyd, I mean, if I feel like when scouts watch the tape, they're going to wonder how the heck this guy is even considered leaving his junior year. But, you know, he goes to the combine and he looks like a total freak. So it's unfortunate for Lil Jordan and good for Chris Boyd. Gary Johnson obviously ran well also. But, you know, I feel bad for Lil Jordan because I got to wonder if he's starting to question his decision on whether or not he should have left early.
Well, I think that he's definitely questioning his decision now, you know, after having the worst 40 time out of all the wide receivers there, man. I mean, it wasn't a good look. And I mean, I've seen, you know, people on different, you know, sites or whatever, you know, Longhorn groups that I'm a part of, and they were just really kind of just dragging him through the ringer or whatever, which I thought was, you know, kind of unfair to the kid. I mean, he made a you know, whatever decision that he made, and you know, he and his family made, or whatever, was the decision that he felt like was best for him. So I don't knock him for that. We said in our last show before all of this even came out that he should have stayed. He needed another year or whatever. And I mean, you know, another year wasn't going to make him any faster or whatever, but it would have given him, you know, a little more film, and then he would have been dynamic in this offense, you know, having, you know, with the wide receiver core that we just alluded to. But I mean, yeah, man, it was an ugly look for him, man. But that's still not to say, man, that he won't get let's say this, statistically, proven fact, man, that there was a lot of free agents that were on rosters at the end of this NFL season than it was draft picks, anywhere from 4 to 7, man. So with that being said, I believe that there's still a place for a Lil Jordan Humphrey. Even if he doesn't get drafted, I think he'll get a look on the squad or, and even if he doesn't make a team, I feel like, you know, a year development on a practice squad or whatever the case may be, it's still an opportunity for him in the NFL because he just does so many things, man. And when you look at him and the tackles that he broke, and you just looked at him this past season, man, he really had good film. Another year would have benefited him, but I still think there's possibly a chance for him in the NFL.
I think it added a lot of credibility to Tom Herman too, because there was a couple times where it was very, very clear that he was trying to light a fire under Lil Jordan's ass. Whether it was, you know, the bowl game where he was suspended for the bowl game, whether it was benching him early against Oklahoma State, when Texas lost there in Stillwater, there were multiple instances where it seemed like for whatever reason Tom was trying to light a fire under his ass. And you know, when you see him go out there and do what he did at the combine, maybe there was a reason that he was trying to do it. But I feel bad that the kid's gonna have to, his NFL journey is an uphill battle. I'm definitely rooting for him, but you just gotta wonder if he regrets that I was happy for Gary Johnson, though, because, you know oh, I'm the head man. Of the Gary Johnson fan
Gary
club.
Gary Johnson, man.
That's my dude right there. So
let me ask you this.
The way he runs, man.
The dude is fast, man. The dude is fast for a linebacker. And the thing about
that
this.
That play against OU where he forced the fumble on CeCe Lamb, but then it led to the safety, that should have been one of the biggest defensive plays in recent history at UT, but it kind of got eliminated quickly because of the safety right after. But in the fourth quarter, with OU looking to take a two-possession lead, he hustles all the way down the field, forces that fumble, Texas gets the rock,
right.
All the excitement, and then next thing you know, there's a safety. Man, that should have been a play that we'd be talking about 10 years from now.
Well, the way that the NFL is played now, if you look at, 20 years ago, a guy like Gary Johnson probably wouldn't make the NFL, but now the way that the game is played, man, with more spread concepts or whatever, with his speed and his quickness, man, even being, kind of a little guy, he's able to shoot gaps and everything
he's
very quickly,
league.
Man.
He
so,
will be on your team.
Yeah, he'll be on a squad,
he will
man.
Be on
and,
your squad.
And I mean, you look at a team like maybe the Chargers who run a lot of, they bring their, DBs down in the box and play that a lot, man. So they like those corners that are being able to come in and defend the tight ends and so on and so forth. But just with
the
spread concepts,
linebackers,
I'm sorry, but just with the spread concept alone, this guy will be able to come in and make plays, man.
He can run, he can fill the hole, he can tackle. Gary Johnson will be on your team. Charles Aminihu as well. He's one of those guys where I watch, and I like the young man. I'm not trying to knock the young man, but I feel like his stats and his sack production, I feel like it wasn't even like overly impressive, but I feel like it was a lot more, the stats are more impressive than when you actually watch him play. And the example I'll use is there's a Longhorn fan who used to write for the Dallas Morning News, good guy. Actually an alum. His name is Todd Wills, and he's always on Twitter, and he talks about Charles Aminihu, and he said something along the lines of, the game that he played against Georgia was one of the best games I've ever seen a defensive lineman play. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, what were you watching? Like, maybe it looked a little bit better, but I'm trying to figure it out. And I go back and look, and he had two tackles. He didn't have a tackle for loss. He didn't have any sacks. I feel like a lot of times Aminihu, we think that he doesn't finish plays. So a lot of times it looks like he's doing more, but I feel like he left so many sacks on the field. I don't know how he's going to fit into the NFL.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel that he sometimes you can be an addition through subtraction, if you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, you may get doubled or something like that. They might leave lanes for other people to come in and be successful and make plays, man. So
I didn't really see him getting doubled. I mean, I don't know though. I like Charles. I'm not trying to knock him, but I'm just saying it goes back to what we talk about and what I think a Texas defensive end should look like. Charles is close to that, but he's not quite there. Maybe I'm just putting him on a different scale. Maybe I'm getting stuck in the days of, the Brian Arakpos, the Sergio Kindles, those kind of guys. Even going back to Tony Brack.
Hater.
I don't feel like I watched Charles Aminihu and said, you know what, that guy is going to be a beast on Sundays.
I agree with that. I didn't see, anyone, Gary Johnson, probably the only one defensively this year that I thought, that really was just a beast. I was surprised. I mean, of course, a guy like Chris Boyd will get drafted.
He was not good.
Devontae Davis.
He was not good.
Devontae Davis was probably more solid to me than Chris Boyd was. He's definitely for sure gave up less plays than Chris Boyd did all season.
However, Chris Boyd, a lot of times when he wasn't giving up plays, he was getting bailed out. There were some drops. There was a couple times quarterback missed it. Like there was a couple times where Boyd got bailed out. And there was a couple times where he didn't see the ball and he just happened to recover pretty nicely.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like Chris Boyd gets drafted?
Hell yeah. I think he gets drafted. I would be shocked to see Chris Boyd go like in the third round or something like that.
Third round?
Look, bro, like the combine,
dope,
like that.
Man,
I'm just saying. Like,
third round,
combine,
you got to be fucking kidding me, bro.
I'm not a fan of it. I wouldn't do it.
Oh, man.
But I'm
hell
just saying,
no.
Look, dude, people fall in love with his speed, man. People fall in love with speed. And they fall in love with physicality. And Chris Boyd, if anything, he's very physical.
He's physical.
Devontae Davis is a very physical
guy as well.
But
I think Devontae ran
Chris,
like maybe a 4 or 5. I think he ran there at the combine.
He didn't push up the bench.
Huh?
He didn't push up the bench like Chris, man.
Chris did push up the bench.
I'm just saying.
Third round, bro. I'm just telling you, man. People want corners.
Hey, it ain't me selecting. We're gonna have to figure that out, but we'll see. But I do feel bad for Lil J that he's gonna have to sit back and fight his way onto an NFL roster and watch a team that is in the driver's seat to being in the college football playoff, as I said, because they're going to be favored in every single game. Other stuff that happened, because there's a lot that's happened since we left the air last time. Vince Young, man.
Oh, man. Did you have to go there, bro?
I didn't want to.
Did we have to talk about
more than
Vince
hurts you.
Young, man.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
And Vince Young is a friend of the show, man. He's a friend of the podcast. We've had him on. A Longhorn great man. And
innocent until proven guilty, but damn.
Bro, like, this the second time, bro. Like, I mean, come on, man.
All you got to do is be Vince. I love Vince Young more than anything. I've told you this 100 times. Section 24, row 39, seat 1. I love Vince Young. I absolutely adore Vince Young. I'm the biggest Vince Young fan there is. But damn, dude, quit putting yourself in these situations. You are so loved there. Don't make people bail on you. Like, just make better decisions. Hopefully he gets another chance and just realizes it. But damn, man, like, we can't be having this kind
of
stuff.
Vince, man, you're an icon in Austin, man, at the University of Texas,
VY
man.
Steakhouse.
You're doing big things, man. It's just not a good look, man. And we love you, bro. We always got love for you. Definitely appreciate you for coming on the show last season, man. Gonna try to get you back on, this year if we can, man. After the case, man. God bless you, man. We keep it real on this show, bro. We love you, but you gotta fucking do better, man. Real
man.
So what's up, man? What's up, man? What's been going on, Locke, man? What's been happening, man?
Well,
fans miss us, man. They've been hitting us up, man.
Didn't
want to get into the whole, recruiting thing.
We'll talk about this recruiting class because it is one of the best recruiting classes in the history of the University of Texas.
Right, right.
It's a top three, and you can look at the kids. But we're not going to sit here like, and I know a lot of people get paid to do it. They get paid some good bread to follow it. I'm not going to sit here and say this kid out of Little Elm High School really needs to pick University of Texas over Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm a grown-ass man, dude.
Right.
Like, I live this stuff on Saturdays, and I like seeing it, but I ain't going to sit here and go down to the high school level and break down this running back that might come here.
I mean, because
once it's done, we can talk about it. But I'm just not going to – that's just not my style,
I mean,
man.
Because the bottom line is this, man. I'm kind of back and forth on this, man, because – I'm not going to necessarily say that stars don't matter, man. I mean, when you go back and you look at teams that have won national championships, man, stars does matter coming out of high school. But at the end of the day, man, we've seen guys who, Deontay, for instance, man, was, rated a 3-star guy, kind of the throw in to his brother, Armani, man, who was a 4-star guy, man. And then, come to Texas and just sets it on fire, man. So, the recruiting thing, man, and the rankings coming in, man, it really doesn't matter to me or whatever. We've seen 5-star guys who didn't pan out, and we've seen, walk-ons that have, come on and have made big impacts on teams. So, it's just about busting your ass, man, and going out there and working hard. And I think that's what Tom Herman and his staff, expecting for these guys to come in. And he's definitely recruiting at a high level. I mean, is he winning the battle right now over Texas A&M, man?
Yeah, I mean, you see it. I mean, yeah, the rankings are higher, and they talked about how good of a recruiter he is. He's already recruiting his ass off there too. Once they get in the building, we'll talk about him. But the way Tom Herman's recruiting right now, it's at a higher level than anyone's seen, and the way that he's working these transfers too. I mean, you saw Trey Watson last year, and you saw Calvin Anderson. Without those two guys, they don't win 10 games.
Yeah,
Matter of fact, I don't know how many games they do win without the left tackle and Trey Watson and everything he brought in the run game and the pass game. So he's back at it. So it's not just the recruiting. It's the default free agency, which, by the way, also impacted the Texas Longhorns as we continue to talk about what's happened since we left, because since we were on the air last time, we saw it coming, but they lost a couple quarterbacks. They lost Shane Buechele, and they lost Cameron Rising.
Yeah.
Casey Thompson, however, does stay, so they do have a backup quarterback that was coveted and is familiar with the system. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, because at the end of the day, those guys weren't going to play in the ideal situation. But I will say this. I want to wish Shane Buechele the very best, because I feel like
good
the way
guy.
He handled himself last year, yeah. and the way that he came in whenever he was called to, regardless of how you feel about how he performed against Baylor, and that was a debatable topic, but he handled himself like a true professional. You can tell that it really meant a lot to him, and the way that Tom Herman handled the situation very honestly with him. You can tell he means a lot to his teammates, and I'm a big fan of the young man. My second favorite team next season is going to be SMU, assuming that Shane's the starter, because when it comes to class and it comes to being a good kid, you know, it's one thing to have your blue chip recruit that goes on to the NFL, and we talk about him years down the line, like a Vince Young or whatever, but guys like Shane Buechele, the attitude like that, the buying into Tom Herman's philosophy whenever things aren't going your way, the buying into the locker room, those guys are just as important as the blue chips and the guys that are on the field. So I got to salute Shane Buechele, and I got to say I wish him the very, very, very best.
Shane, good guy, man. You know, he and his brother and I, you know, we talk, you know, time to time through Twitter, and, you know, I've got a chance to meet his, you know, mom and everything, his freshman year coming in. You know, obviously Armani Deontay was there and played with him. Really, really good guy, good family. You know, I think SMU is definitely a good fit for him. A guy like that, Sonny Dykes. To be honest with you, man, maybe he may have stayed a year too late, man. I mean, you know, a year longer than he should have stayed, you know, at Texas, man. I thought that, you know, honestly, that he, you know, would have transferred last year, man. But, you know, hey, to each his own. And again, we wish Sam the best, man.
Shane.
I mean, I'm sorry, Shane the best. And just, you know, hope that he goes to SMU and tear it up, man.
I don't
so
think
we'll
he's trying to go to the
watching.
NFL, so I don't know that last year was bad for him. I think he built a lot of character. And I think, honestly, think like as far as networking, I don't know what Shane wants to do in the future. But I think as far as networking, like if he does want to stay in football in some way, shape, or form, I think staying last year at Texas did more for his future.
Yeah, business-wise, yeah, right, right.
The NFL,
okay,
so
I got you. I agree with that.
That's right.
Getting back to the NFL, well, I mean, if I agree with you, bro, I agree with you, man. I mean, like, what the hell, bro? You know, am I just supposed to create cover? Who the fuck am I not? Skip Bayless? You know, I'm just supposed to say some outlandish just to create controversy, man? Like, freak no, man. I'm not doing that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I agree with you. It's not often I agree with you any goddamn. Well, I do kind of agree with you on some things, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. But, you know, getting back to the quarterbacks, man, that was scary, man, for a while, man, to lose those guys like that, man, at a rapid pace that they
Why,
were losing
though?
Those guys.
You got Sam.
But yeah, but you asked Sam. Okay. So what you're telling me is quarterbacks don't freaking get hurt, Landry?
No, especially Sam. And I know it's
exactly that's my point.
Sam,
so now,
Sam
so now,
the way he runs.
So let's say, knock on wood, man. I really don't even want to
go
here, bro.
I know what you're going to say.
I don't
even want
to go.
No, but what you're saying,
I'm not
going to
say
is it's important to have a backup quarterback.
Exactly.
But you got one. You got Thompson,
an experienced backup quarterback.
You know who's losing quarterbacks every year? You know who's losing quarterbacks every year?
Ooh.
Georgia, they're losing quarterbacks every year. Oklahoma, they're losing quarterbacks every year. The good programs lose quarterbacks when they have quarterbacks. And the fact that these guys are leaving, I agree with what you're saying. If something happens to the starting quarterback, I'm not even going to say the possibility. You all know who the starter is. Then, yeah, you want the best possible guy. But when you're a good program, you're a top-notch program, you have the expectations that we've laid on Texas. It's playoffs or bust next year. That's the theme of this show. Playoffs are bust. You need Sam, and 9 times out of 10, when your starting quarterback gets hurt, you're going to be screwed. But I like Thompson, and if they're leaving, it's at least a sign early in the Tom Herman process of trying to get Texas back to where they want to be that it's a good thing, because it appears you have a quarterback that nobody, that other guys that were highly recruited don't feel like they can compete with.
You better hope like hell Sam doesn't go down
well, no,
next year, man.
Well, no duh. I would hope that if those guys were there. I mean, but you got Thompson. You got Thompson. We'll see. I like Thompson. I like Thompson coming in, but we'll see. But hopefully, I don't have to see him. Hopefully, honestly, hopefully next year Thompson's transferring, and then they have another young guy backing up Sam. I'm fine with that.
I mean,
you know why? Because
why?
when Sam's a senior, there's going to be some blue chip recruit that everybody's forecasting is going to be in the pros, and Texas is going to be at the top of his list. So if he wants to come in and be the backup, go ahead and leave Thompson. When Sam's a senior, we'll see you later, and we'll just keep bringing in quarterback after quarterback. Times have changed here, bro. Times have changed here. That's where we're at right now.
Like, you're such a head, bro.
Hey.
Really, you know what I'm saying?
Hey.
Like, really, bro. You such a.
Best of luck to you guys.
Stuff happens, man. You know what I'm saying? Stuff happens, and we understand stuff happens. I would rather have a guy. You know, when Sam was hurt last year or whatever, we had Shane. You know, to come in, a guy who has started a whole season, man, who was an experienced guy, whatever. Like, that matters, man. That matters.
You saying, well, hell,
hey, as long as we have Sam, as long as we have Superman there,
yes,
you know, we don't need any
That's
more.
It.
We don't need a Batman or a Green Lantern
or whoever.
We don't need that, man. We just got Superman. But understand that there's
the best
kryptonite.
Backup?
There is a such thing as freaking kryptonite, man.
You know the best backup for Sam Ellinger? One who doesn't play. That's my best backup.
Dude, you are, man, this is beyond me, man. But, you are a fool, man.
But shout out to Cameron Rising, too. We didn't really get to see him, but best of luck to him as well. Speaking of transfers, because I got to say this right now. I got to say this. I give Oklahoma a lot of credit for Baker Mayfield. Give him a lot of credit for Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray, although in the big scheme of things, I think Kyler Murray benefited from very, very favorable surroundings last year at Oklahoma. I'm not trying to take away too much from him, but when four of the offensive linemen blocking for you were at the NFL Combine, the other one, the wide receiver in the slot that you were throwing to, is the number one wide receiver on Bucky Brooks' current big board, but he's not participating because of a Liz Frank injury. The other wide receiver you threw to is the best receiver in the Big 12, CeCe Lamb. Sorry, Colin Johnson, I love you very much, but CeCe Lamb, and you arguably have the best running back in Sermon back there. Your surroundings are pretty good, Kyler Murray. Your surroundings are pretty damn good. But with that said, he was a damn good player. I'm not trying to hate.
Okay.
But Jalen Hurts ain't in that class. Oh, Jalen Hurts ain't in that class.
Hey, man. Let me tell you something about the young G, man. Jalen Hurts, man. Yeah, you know, he got beat out by Tua, man. And we understand that at Alabama, man. But I think that him going to Oklahoma.
It's a good place for him, but he does not scare me.
Well, I mean, Jalen Hurts.
He does not scare me.
But Jalen Hurts, hey, resume speaks for himself, man. You know what I'm saying? He only lost two games, man, at Alabama, man, before he, you know, was taking over, man. And he did come back and win them the game against Georgia, man.
Yes,
so the dude's legit. I think
he's
going
right
to Oklahoma, man. I think Oklahoma is going to be good for him, man. Of course, we still have to see, who's going to have
talent
around him.
They still got talent.
I like Jalen, man. Shout out to Jalen Hurts, man. I like the dude. I had a chance to meet the guy and sit down and talk to him. Man, really, really cool
Who
dude,
cares?
Man.
He's a Sooner now, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, man, that's
he's
what I'm
a Sooner.
About,
he's a Sooner
man.
Now.
I understand that, man. But
let
you know,
him go.
You know, it's all good, man.
But
so,
what's up? What's up, Dede?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. I'm all in, man.
Just looking through the schedule right now. Next year, because we're talking about Texas potentially being favored in every single game. Louisiana Tech favored versus LSU. It's gonna be to be determined,
yeah.
But it will be noted that DKR has become a home field advantage. You lost one game there last year, and it was to West Virginia when they went for two with Will Greer's quarterback.
Let me ask you this. I don't mean to cut you off, man, but like you know with what that you know they've done with Bevo Boulevard and all. I mean just everything surrounding the stadium or whatever, man. That LSU game is going to be. What time would you tell people to be at that game, man?
Because it's probably gonna be crazy, bro. You got to think that's gonna be a late night, right?
Yeah,
you gotta think that's
definitely
gonna be a
7 o'clock game.
Man, get
yeah.
there like 7 a.m. and just pace yourself. Have
man,
a good time,
it's gonna be crazy out there, man. I haven't been to a game, man, all that last season, man.
You need to hit that.
So
182 days.
Yeah, that game right there, man. I'm not gonna lie to you, man. I might have to make my way up to Austin for that game, man, because I know it's gonna be crazy around there, bro.
But we don't know if they're gonna be favored or not. It's gonna at the very least be like one of those 3-point 3-point spreads either way, or it could be even less. So it's going to be close.
Right.
At Rice, favored.
Yep.
Versus Oklahoma State, favored. They have to replace their starting quarterback, and they lose Justice Hill. So you're going to be favored in that. At West Virginia, no Dana Holgorsen, no Will Grier. I know it's a tough place to play. No one wants to go to Morgantown. Still going to be a slight favorite at West Virginia. Versus OU, we don't know how OU is going to start next year. I'm not questioning their talent. You're going to have a first-year quarterback in Jalen Hurts. You're going to have four new offensive linemen there. You lose Hollywood Brown. So you got to think with the talent at Texas, at the very least, that's going to be some sort of coin toss. So it could be favored. Versus Kansas, favored. At TCU, they're going to have a new quarterback. They got a lot going on. You're going to be favored. Versus Kansas State, favored. Versus at Iowa State, you're going to be favored, even though Iowa State's one of those teams that's pretty good. You got the second year, the quarterback starting his second year. It's going to be tough. That could be a trap game.
Yep.
At Baylor, Brewer in his second season, but you're still going to be favored. And then you host Texas Tech, favored. There is a strong chance that Texas is favored in every single one of their games, except maybe Oklahoma and LSU. And even then, it's going to be close. But I would say,
the point is, it's
playoffs or bust.
I was going to put you on the spot, man.
Playoffs or bust.
And say, for Herman to legitimize himself after last year, man, does he have to win the Big 12 this year and get a playoff berth this year?
I want the playoffs. I'm going to be disappointed if they don't, but they got to win the conference this year. They have to win the conference this year. Like that's my expectation for this squad. When you're returning your quarterback as a third year starter and everybody else is chasing their tail in that situation, except I guess you're not chasing your tail when you bring in Jalen Hurts, but yes, I do think they have to win the conference next year. That's my expectations.
Well, I mean, I totally agree with you, man. I think that is there for the taking, man. I think it's prime, you know, for them to go in there and handle their business, man. But one thing that we do know that the games, you know, still have to be played, man.
Anything can happen on any given Saturday.
Any given Saturday, man. But let me say this, man. Bro, we right around the corner from the spring game. Like it seemed like this stuff went by kind of quickly,
man. But it's 182 games. That, you know, just to put you back in perspective, it's 182 days to LSU.
Yeah, bro.
175 to the opener. So it ain't as close as it seems.
I mean, but I'm saying that the spring game.
Yeah.
You know, we're what 3 weeks or what about two?
Pretty close.
Away from the spring game, man. So I mean, and I know the spring game really means nothing to most people, man.
There's a lot of stuff I want to see.
You know, but there's a lot of things I want to see too, so I'm very interested in this. I'm probably more interested in this spring game than I've been in probably the last 3 years. With the spring game, man, there's a lot of unproven commodities coming in, man, that I really want to get a chance to look at and whatever. So I'm excited about watching Texas in the spring game this year, man, and checking them out, see what they got going on. I'll be looking around at Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma in their spring game, and you know,
he's been squatting a lot. I saw he's squatting a lot. They put up videos of Jalen Hurts squatting. So that's good for him when he's a running back in the league. Congratulations on that, Jalen. No, I'm just kidding. I like Jalen. He's a good kid. I just don't think he's Kyler or Mayfield. But good job for Lincoln Riley for being able to bring in guys time after time. I don't know how much longer he's going to be at OU, but he's done a damn good job. And they're the class of the conference. All things considered, we're drinking Kool-Aid right now. Let me just say this, and I said it after Texas beat them last year.
Go ahead, bro.
I said OU was going to win the conference last year after Texas won the Red River Shootout. Made that very clear. Oklahoma is still Texas's daddy as we sit right now. So that's that. We don't get that twisted.
Yeah.
As excited as we can get, let's be honest. Oklahoma owns Texas.
Yeah, Oklahoma still owns Texas.
They own the conference.
Yeah, we do.
That's a fact. We understand that.
They own Texas, man, or whatever. But again, like I said before, man, it's going to be interesting this year. Sam being the most experienced quarterback in the Big 12, you know, coming out there, man, he has a lot of toys to play with, man. A lot of, like I said, it's going to be a high powered offense. I think that having, and again, I preferenced this earlier, man, man. But I think it is so key and so important about David Beatty and those guys coming in as analysts, man, just giving you a whole nother set of eyes. Maybe you can see
you're
something
high
that
on
I don't.
This, bro.
Well, my thing is because, you know, these guys have experience with head coaching jobs and assistant coaching jobs or whatever. So, you know, they're coming in and hey, they can sometimes, you know, you're so attention to detail and you're so busy focusing on one thing until you need other eyes to be able to see other things around you. And I think that that's where the importance of a Larry Fedora or a David Beatty coming in and being analyst for the University of Texas and helping
and also
Tom
it helps
Herman
the offense, man.
Offense.
Like
yeah,
obviously
no
cuz our biggest knock on this Texas coaching staff for since we've been doing this podcast has been the quote unquote offensive coordinator Tim Beck. David Beatty and Larry Fedora, they're probably a little bit better offensive minds than what Tim Beck is.
No doubt.
I would trust either one of them calling plays more than I do Tim Beck at times. You know, just given just what we've seen from him. So I guess in the film, he can at least, you know, he can at least give Herman a better set of eyes than what Tim Beck is.
You know, both of them, I think that that's going to be big, you know, defensively too. Like I said, sometimes, man, you just have those extra eyes. It makes a difference, man. It, you know, sometimes you can see things that the other person can't see. So having said that, man, I think it's going to be big. I think that Tom Herman is heading in the right direction. I think he's doing all the right things, for this, Texas Longhorn team moving forward. You know, again,
just say you were wrong one more time.
Hey,
I just want to hear one more time.
I admit, man, I was wrong about Tom Herman, man. I mean, I'll say this. I was wrong about Tom Herman. You know, he proved me wrong this year. You know, last season or whatever the case may be. The first year, I felt like I was spot on about the dude, man. Even early on this year,
losing
against
Maryland.
I don't want to get you started again. but it's cool, man. I know we have a long time, man. It's gonna be
September 9th is LSU.
September 9th is LSU.
182 days, bro, as we're recording this on March 9th. Happy birthday to my pops, by the way. He turns I won't tell his age, but you know, my pops' birthday today. The reason that I love UT football so much, his birthday's today, March 9th, as we're recording this. So he doesn't have a birthday week like my man Day Day. But I want him to at least enjoy himself today.
He's such a freaking hater, man. But you know, we like I say, man, a shout out again, man, to our listeners, man. Shout out to the ones that was hitting me up, man, and asking, you know, when we were gonna jump back on
and record, we're not recruiting analysts, man. Yeah, like, we'll take a step back and tell you about the guys when they come, but we ain't gonna sit here and say this guy might come here. We leave the high school kids alone. We really leave the college kids alone too, by the way. So, and I gotta give this PSA one more time. Quit getting in these kids' mentions. Quit getting in these kids' mentions, people. Quit mentioning these people on social media, these kids.
We had to throw this show, in. Obviously, man, let you guys know that we're still here, man. We're still, gathering information, and we still, the things that we've discussed, leading into the spring game and everything like that. So we're still on the ball, man. Even though we hadn't been actually, you know, on the air, we hadn't been podcasting or whatever, we're still very close to what's going on at the University of Texas, and you know, keeping you guys in the mix. We don't want to bore you guys with just blatant. You know, just BS, man. We don't want to just
kinda... We got some breaking news as this happens.
All right, well, spit it out, man.
This, according to Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman, a Texas spokesperson confirms Vince Young has been fired for the University of Texas for being absent and not talking to superiors.
Wow.
We started the show talking about Vince and how, you know, hopefully he gets it together. Man, you have to be an absolute idiot.
Dumbass to get fired from the University of Texas
and be Vince Young, and all you have to do is be Vince Young.
And all you have to do, bro, I'm talking about, bro, the job that he had, making $100,000 or something a year, bro, to do fucking nothing. Nothing, bro. You just were Vince Young and you're making $100,000 a year, bro, to do nothing, and you get fired, bro. How you get out of You get fired on your day off.
How do you get fired on your day off when all you have to do is be Vince Young? All you had to do was be Vince Young, and you got fired.
How can Vince Young not be Vince Young? You know what I'm saying? You're not even good at being Vince Young. Like, what kind of, you know, like, that's crazy, bro. I'm not going to on my man or whatever, but I'm just going to be honest with you, man. That's just the dumbest thing that I've heard, man. That's idiotic
to
me.
You ain't even talking to your superiors?
You know, you're not even talking to. You're not.
Who do you think you are, man?
I guess he figured, hey, I'll save myself the embarrassment. He knew what was coming down the pipeline, man, because it's just a bad look for the university, man. We gave you pretty much a slap on the wrist for the first time. Okay. It happens. But now you turn right around and you do the same thing again. You know, the university, like, nah, man, we can't, you know, we love you, Vince.
And at least communicate with us. That's crazy, terrible. That's garbage, man.
That's crazy. Our first breaking news, man, as we're live doing the podcast, man. Vince Young has been fired from the University of Texas, man.
We still have our memory, but God. How are you going to get fired on your day off?
Man, I hope the steakhouses are doing well, man. Golly, or something, man.
What's he going to do for money now? You were making all that bread just to be Vince Young.
Just to be Vince Young. To walk around campus, bro, and just do nothing, man. Nothing, bro. And I just don't get it, bro. I don't get it. But I mean, hell, it is what it is, man. We got people out here with real problems, man. You know, Vince Young, you know, God bless him, he'll land on his feet. He'll be okay, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is just keeping it real, man. Y'all know how we are on the 41 Acres podcast, man. We're going to keep it a stack every time. I can't feel sorry for somebody, man, who got paid $100,000, bro, to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's idiotic to me, bro.
What do you mean? I mean, we started off talking about idiotic, but now obviously, if Texas, let's just put it this way. If the University of Texas isn't giving Vince Young the benefit of the doubt, he f***ed up. They've done everything to give him the benefit of the doubt, right?
We got an expletive, man, from Landry Locker, man. I'm the one that dropped the F-bombs and stuff on this show, man. Don't get it twisted, bro.
But I'm just saying, he effed up.
He did, man. Again, man, I love you, Vince. Love you. But it's certain people that I can't feel sorry for, man. Or I can't, you know what? I'm not going to even go there, bro.
Keep that on your damn Facebook, man. Keep that on your damn Facebook, dude. You know, but those interviews have been fascinating. We don't need takes on it, but those interviews have been fascinating.
Oh man,
the interviews. But we don't need to get into all that.
What they've been doing with, man.
I'm uncomfortable with all these memes about that, though.
He's definitely replaced Jordan as the new crying face, man.
Nah, he has not. That will never be replaced. I actually think that hurt Jordan's legacy.
What, the crying face?
Yeah. Not for our generation, but for kids who probably didn't watch him. That's what they know Michael Jordan as, bro.
Well, I mean, kids that already didn't watch Michael Jordan, you know, play ball or whatever the case may be, man, that was outside of our generation, these millennials, man, they already feel like, you know, hey, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant is the GOAT, man, you know, right now. So, that's just like when we came up, man, like, to be honest with you, I didn't know much about, I mean, I knew Dr. J or whatever the case may be, man, but to me, it was Michael Jordan all day long, man. I would have taken Michael, and a lot of people, you know, debated that early on, you know, with Dr. J, man. So, hey, you know, times are changing, man. These kids, you know, if they go back and watch film on Michael Jordan, you know, if they take time to watch YouTube videos and everything, they'll see the greatness of Michael Jordan. But, right now, man, a lot of these kids think LeBron James is just a man, you know?
Yeah. He just passed MJ. Did you not see that?
So what? He passed MJ in scoring. Okay, so now
it's
he's
a big accomplishment.
So now he's four. Yeah, so it's a huge accomplishment. But Jordan played less years.
Less games. Less games. All the defensive MVPs. All the finals MVPs.
You know what I'm saying? 6-0 in championship.
Team won 55 games without him. Took the Knicks seven games. Tell me right now,
is LeBron James better than Michael Jeffrey Jordan?
I see both sides of the argument. I will say this. when your team wins 55 games and goes 7 games with the New York Knicks, who lost in 7 games in the NBA Finals to the Houston Rockets without you on the team, that kind of tells me that you had pretty good surroundings and you had Phil Jackson as your coach. I understand both sides. Right now, I'm obviously going to give it to MJ, but I think there is both sides of the argument. But in regards to the argument, I think the people who defend Michael Jordan and say he's the best have a lot less substance when they argue it. I don't feel like they back up their argument as well as the people who back up LeBron.
I'll tell you this. To me, and you can disagree with me, I'm pretty sure you will.
Oh, no.
You know, but to me, Michael Jordan made players around him hungrier, made players around him better. LeBron James won 55 without him. But he still made
and almost
players
made the finals
around him better.
LeBron didn't make people
New York.
Better.
I mean,
what has Kyrie done without? What? Look at Kyrie Irving without LeBron. He's a train wreck. He's bipolar. You don't even know what he's going. What's going on with that guy? You're telling me he didn't make Kyrie Irving better? Kyrie Irving's never won anything without him. Scottie and them at least won without MJ. They did some good things. Kyrie Irving's a loser without LeBron. What's he doing?
Hey, first of all, like I said, MJ, I feel, made players around him better, and LeBron James are looking for better players around him. There's a difference, bro.
Well, now he is.
There's a difference, bro. With this Laker team, man, this Laker team is and I honestly, I didn't see that. I thought the Lakers, honestly, bro, I thought that they would probably, and I mean, I know we're getting off of the Longhorns, man, so we just kind of talking sports right now.
I mean, Vince threw off, man. I'm not going to get to see Vince Young at the stadium. Man, what are we going to do?
Vince Young
Ricky.
Fired.
Ricky, Vic it's Young. All right, Ricky.
Vince Young has
Ricky,
been fired.
Keep it,
what's
you,
up? Shout
Ricky,
out to my boy
down.
Jarvis, man. Shout out to Jarvis
Ricky,
on,
hold
the,
it
on
down.
Here, man. Hey, Jarvis, in case you ain't heard, man, Vince Young has been fired, man, from the University of Texas, bro. Just breaking news as we doing this podcast, man.
You're shouting people out on Facebook Live on a podcast.
He has been fired, man.
We gotta get out of here. Before we get out of here, though, the new quarterback of the Texas Longhorns, maybe let me just tell you this. If Sam goes and wins a national title, I think we're safe. It's safe to say that Sam Ehlinger respects the University of Texas a little bit more than Vince Young does, okay? So it's safe to say that. He grew up with it. So Sam won't let us down. If Sam takes UT to the promised land, he won't crap on the university and crap on all his believers like Vince Young has. So Sam Ehlinger, let's just get out of here on a Sam Ehlinger story, because he made a little bit of news yesterday with a couple tweets. And this is what Sam had to say, and it's the ongoing debate about, you know, college athletes and being compensated for their likeness. This is what Sam had to say. Quote, consider a full-time unpaid internship that requires 1 to 4 years of participation with a minimum 40-hour work week. This internship generates millions of dollars for your company and billions of dollars for the broadcasting companies that cover your industry. Within this internship, you risk your short-term and long-term health on a daily basis. You endure this internship with less than 2% chance to advance in your industry and obtain a full-time paid job. Would you accept this position? Now consider the full-time unpaid internship as college athletics and the full-time paid job as professional sports. This was in support of Congressman Mark Walker, who's basically proposing the Olympic model in which players like Sam Ehlinger can profit off of their likeness. It should be noted, though, that Sam did go on to say that he does appreciate being the quarterback of the University of Texas, which we already knew, and he's blessed. I don't disagree with what Sam's saying. I think a lot of times when people say, you know, college athletes should be paid, I think that's a simplistic view, because I think we're looking at it as if all of them are going to go to the NFL. Some of them are benefiting from having an education, so I don't think you can just lay out salaries and have like a situation where Alabama and Texas can buy all these players. But what he's talking about is the Olympic model, in which Sam Ehlinger can on his own profit from his name because he's the University of Texas quarterback. I have no issue with this. I don't even know why this is even a topic. If the Olympic model works in that area of amateurism, it should work in college football. But I'm not going to sit here and say like guys like two or three deep should all of a sudden make like thousands of dollars because they're more replaceable. But a guy like a Johnny Manziel, a guy like a Sam Ehlinger, a guy like a Vince Young when he played, I have no problem with them going out and making their own money, profiting on what they do and what they risk every Saturday.
You know, I absolutely agree with you, man. Even going back, man, some years ago, man, maybe, you know, you know, 7 years ago or whatever, 8 years ago when they came out with the Fab Five, you know, on the 30 for 30 on ESPN, man, and how, you know, big of a team that they were, man. And I know, you know, football is different, but I mean, it's kind of in the same thing where, you know, these universities profit off of these kids, man, jerseys and different things like that, that the university is making all of this money. And these kids, you know, are hungry for pizza, you know, at night, man, you know, just trying to study and trying to cram for
exams. Why are you bringing up pizza around me, bro?
Hell yeah, I forgot. It's, yeah, still, it's still Pizza Gate, man.
Nah, Pizza Gate's over. Pizza Gate ended up the Oklahoma State loss.
But I totally agree with you, man. I feel like if you know, a player like Sam and those guys, you know, the big name players that's, you know, that the people are coming to see and they're, you know, getting the jerseys and everything, and they're bringing all of this money to the university, there's no way in hell that these guys shouldn't be able to capitalize off of some of that that income.
Just do it on their own. It's not really rocket science. Yes, they benefit from the education. More of them do than don't, but it's really kind of just common sense in the whole thing. But shout out to Sam Ehlinger, Vince Young. You worthless SOB, man. No. I never thought I would say this.
Man.
I hate saying it, Day Day. I hate saying it, but it's God.
So is it safe to say, man, we won't have him on the show?
No. He's gone.
He's gone, man. Okay, man.
You still can't take away the memories.
You can't take
I'm
away
just
kind of
hurt,
man.
Right now.
Hey, matter of fact, I think when we leave here, man, I go home, man, I think I might watch the 05 National Championship game. We got all over again, man.
I'm going to go to the corner store across the street. I'm going to get me a Colt 45 and pour some out for my man, Vince.
Yeah, man, Vince Young, University of Texas, man.
Sucks, man. But again, the moral of the story today on the 41 acres is it is a playoff or bust season for Tom Herman. Texas is in the driver's seat. They're the favorite to win the Big 12. We've seen them let us down before, but the expectations are higher than they've ever been since 2010 after the national championship loss. Actually, expectations were high with Garrett Gilbert as well. We all know how that went on, but the hope is there. The hope is alive. I'll never say Texas is back, but I will say playoffs or bust. Derek, it's been fun.
Hey, man, it's been good, man, being back in the studio with you, Locke, man, for our fans, our listeners, that keep us going on this podcast, man. We do it for you guys, man. We do it for the love of the University of Texas. And as always, man, we appreciate you guys listening, man. Check us out. We ain't going to bore you. Yeah, iTunes. Definitely get us on iTunes, man. Again, we're not going to bore you guys with a lot of things. We're going to keep this rolling going up to the spring game, man. And you know, we'll have a recap of the spring games as well, man. But we'll holler at you guys later, man. And as always, hook 'em, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.